Okay, we're going to start here at the bottom of Tzadi Chetamud Bet, four lines from the bottom. We're discussing a fundamental machloket between Rabbi and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi believes that the kelim were munachim the same way that the building of the Mikdash was laid out, which means east-west was the length of the Mikdash, and so too all the kelim laid east-west in terms of their layout and the way they were stationed within the Mikdash. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon believes, even though the Mikdash was east-west, the kelim were Tzafon Darom. They went against the length of the Mikdash. The length of the Kenim went to the Rochav, the width of the Mikdash. So now the Gemara wants to understand, based on this, how the Shulchanot were laid out. Let's remember that we quoted yesterday the Pasuk that Shlomo Melech had placed 10 Shulchanot into the Heichal. We know that the Shulchan has to be on the northern side of the Heichal. We also know, we learned this from yesterday, was what we left off with yesterday, that it has to be pushed towards the western half of the Kodesh. That's what we spoke about yesterday, that there were two brayot, one that said it was Chatzia Kodesh or Shlisha Eichal. It means that the Kodesh was 40 amot long, the Kodesh HaKodeshim is 20 amot long, the Shulchan Menorah and Mizbech HaZahav sat on the western 20 amot of the Kodesh. So we've got to fit these 10 Shulchanot on the northern side of the Kodesh, the western side, in the western 20 amot. That's what the challenge of the Gemara is right now to do this. The Gemara says, Bishlam Adam Mandamar Mizrach Umarav. According to one who says that it goes laid out east-west, which is Rabbi's position. I understand how you have 10 of them sitting out in 20 amot. Let's think about this. The Shulchan itself, the dimension of the Shulchan is 1 amah by 2 amot. It's 1 amah wide by 2 amot long. If I lay out 10 Shulchanot in a row on the northern side of the Kodesh, pushed all the way to the west, then I will end up with 10 times 2, which is 20 amot. This area is 20 amot. I'm showing over here that they go over a little bit. And as Rashi points out, you can't have an exact measurement of 10 Shulchanot that are 2 amot each. You can't have them line up perfectly that they'll just fit into 20 amot. You need a drop more space. So he says it'll run over a little bit on the halfway point, but no big deal. Here you have all the Shulchanot in the north, and you have them laid out in a row. Bishlama, to one who says, Mizrach Rav, I can figure this out. Elo the Manda Amar, according to the one who says that they were Tzafon Darom. Now we run into a huge problem. Because Yud, Bichof, Hecheyave Yatve. Number one, where do you have these 10 that can sit in the 20 amot that they need? Sure, you put them north-south, it goes straight across the Kodesh. Number one, the problem is that this is exactly 20 amot. We said before, okay, if it's going east-west, you can run over the midway line a drop. But over here, you're exactly 20 amot that fits, and you have these shulchanot that are 20 amot. They're not going to fit exactly. Means there's not enough space to fit the actual shulchan in there. That's number one. Vitu, Kohanim, Hechav Ayle. The Kohanim get through. And Rashi brings two interpretations. One, how the Kohen get to the Kodesh HaKodeshim on Yom HaKippurim, or he says on a daily basis. How did they get around the, we'll see later on in the Gemara, that they had two sets of Kohanim, they had to be on either side of the Shulchanot, they had to be Midash and the Menorah, they had to get around that Heichal, and it wasn't simple if you have a roadblock here. V'tu matzinu hei Shulchanot b'darom. And on top of that, now you're going to have five of the Shulchanot sitting in the southern side, not just the northern side. V'tu Shulchan de Moshe enech manachle. And on top of all this, now you have the 10 Shulchanot, there is an 11th Shulchan, which is the Shulchan of Moshe. Shlomo has 10 Shulchanot. We have an additional Shulchan of Moshe. Where's that going to fit? According to the one who says Mizrach Arav, we only fit 10. Where is the 11th Shulchan going to go, Moshe, if you have them all in a row? Mar's answer is Ela Misvart Chadarav. Let's solve the problem. The problem is that they were not in the solution to the problem of all these questions that we have is they were not in a single row. They were in Tredarinehu. They were in two rows. Now, when we say they're in two rows, it means that there are two rows of five, which are the Shulchanot of Shlomo, and then there is the Shulchan of Moshe, which sits in between them. Okay, once I do that, I'm going to end up with the problem now reversing, which is Bishlamanon Damar. That works well according to one who says Tzafon V'Darom Shapir Dami. According to the one who says Tzafon and Darom, that works out very nicely. We're going to look like this, which is you have five Shulchanot running from the Tzafon to the Darom. Tzafon to the Darom. Remember, five Shulchanot times two Amot is 10 Amot. Halfway point on the Tzafon side is 10 amot. All right, so it won't fit perfectly. Again, you can see I have it going over the midway line a little bit because it doesn't fit perfectly. That's what Rashi says. But okay, that's no big deal. It's over a little bit. It's all on the northern side, the western side of that part. And I have plenty of space here. I can leave the space between the wall and here. I can leave a space between the first row and Moshe, from Moshe's to the second row. I have plenty of room for the Kohanim to get around. Plenty of spacing. Everything is good.
Why is it exact again?
Because you try to take five shulchanot that are each two amot and you press them up together, they're not going to get them to be exact. There's going to be a little gapping between each one of the shulchanot. You can't get them to be perfectly mitzamtzem there, so it'll run over a little bit. There is ten klinamot. It's just you can't squeeze five units of two into there. You know that if you try to squeeze something that's exactly the same measurement, then it never works. All right, so that works out well. Ella lemandamar. According to what it says that it's rachamarav. Now we go to this two row solution. We're going to run into a problem now. Why? Michte shulchan kama mashuch menakotel. How far away is the shulchan from the wall? That's shtayamot umechsa. You have to give it a gapping of two mechsa. But amadide. The shulchan itself is an amawai. Ushtayamot umechsa de beni beni. And you need 2.5 amot between each row of shulchanot. Ve'ama. And then you have another ama, ushtiyamotu mechsa, the beni beni, and another gapping there of 2.5 amot. Vamadi day, ishtechakta ka'acho shulchan pagod amta bidarom. Already now, the shulchan's pushing over half an ama into the southern side. So let's look here, you can see in the picture. Remember, we have 10 amot over here. 2.5 amot between the wall and the shulchanot. I have these five shulchanot, but now they're running east-west, so we're only got the width of the shulchan. The width of the shulchan is 1 ama. So now I have 3.5. And I need additional 2.5 amot to get to the one of Moshe, plus Moshe's, which is an ama wide. So that's another 3.5. 3.5 and 3.5, you have 7 amot. Then I need an additional 2.5 amot from Moshe's to the next row of Shulchanot. Plus that row of Shulchanot Zerma, I have 7 plus 3.5 is 10.5 amot. I have here, you can see that the Shulchan is split in half. Half the Shulchan sits on the southern side. Now that's already too much. Now look, if it goes over a little bit, fine. But here, a whole half of the Shulchan sits on the southern side. That's not acceptable. So now we run into a problem. Okay, we solved the problem of where the Shulchan of Moshe is. We solved the problem for the one who says north-south. But now we run into a problem. The one who says east-west, Rabbi, now has an issue, which is that his shulchanot are pushed over into the darom. Half the shulchan is sitting over in the darom.
Why aren't they closer here?
I left space here. The Gemara never gives any reasoning, but... No, but it just has to be over in the 20 amot, which you clearly are. You're cleanly there. I left space to get around.
Explain why we need spacing of 2.5 hours.
Yeah, so Rashi says the reason that you need the 2.5 amot is because two Kohanim have to get around. We're going to see that in a second, which is that the four Kohanim came in to be Mesader to Lechem, and you need two Kohanim on each side to get around the, and the spacing that you need for two Kohanim is 2.5 amot. How do I know that? The Badim of the Aron. Remember, the Badim of the Aron are split by 2.5 amot, and we had two Kohanim on the inside. Rashi says to have sufficient space for the Kohanim to get around, I need 2.5 amot. They have to work at the simultaneously. All right, so now, Misavert, so what do you think? Shulchan de Moshe ba'adayu yativ. You assume that all the shulchanot are laid out in a parallel manner. Since they're out in a parallel manner, I need 2.5 amot between each row and the wall. I'm going to end up with 10.5 amot. Lo, that's not the case. So what you suggested, David? The midlay, they pulled it out. Umanachle, they placed it. Umetatale dehu purta. And he pulls it away a little bit. Ke tell me that you're shaved lifnei rabbo. Like ke tell me that it's sitting in front of his Rebbe. Like the Rebbe who sits at the head of the table. And the talmidim are around him like a kerem. So too, you have to lay out over here. I'm not sure about the picture here in Rashi. The picture in Rashi seems to me to be problematic. But you see here, Rabbi believes that all the shulchanot are laid out east-west. If that's the case, when you put the weights drawn in the Rashi over here, the top shulchan, which is the shulchan de Moshe, is laid out north-south, is not laid out east-west. So maybe they're just trying to give you a sense of what they meant over here, but it seems to me that it's not exact, but rather like this. So here's the picture of the solution, which is that the shulchan of Moshe sits away towards the Marav by itself. You have the two rows of Shlomo HaMelech. Each row is 2.5 amot away from the wall. That's not a problem because you have plenty of room now. You have three. You need 3.5 for each with their gapping. That means 7 amot out. That's not going to be a problem. Moshe's over here is separated out, and you have plenty of space to get around. Now, the Gemara never tells us how much space between Moshe and the other rows. I did it on the diagonal, that it should have enough 2.5 amot for people to get around. That's how much space I left there. But that, you can see here how it fits in, and there's plenty of space for everybody to work. Everything's in the north, and everything's in the west, and we have a clean look. Again, I'm just pointing out in Rashi, you can see here that Moshe's shulchan should be in the same direction as the other shulchanot. The picture in Rashi does not have it that way. It has the shulchan of Moshe going north-south. Maybe it was just a matter of convenience when they printed it. All right, so now the Gemara says, Tanabanan, Asara shulchanot shasah shmo, lo ayu misadrim, ela alam shel Moshe. When it comes to the 10 shulchanot of Shlomo HaMelech, they were not used, they were just decorative. The only one that was been used was that of Moshe, shenemar, v'ta shulchan asher alav lechem apanim zahav, in the singular. The shulchan on which the lechem apanim was, one shulchan, which was the shulchan of Moshe. Eser menorot asah shlomo, lo ayu melekim ela b'shel Moshe. Same thing's true of the menorah, which is that they were 10 menorot of Shlomo, plus the menorah of Moshe, and we only lit the one of Moshe. Shenemer Menorat Hazav and Nerota LeVe'er Be'erev. Again, used in the singular form, and therefore there was only one menorah that was in use. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemomer Al Kulam Ayu Mesadrim. Not just Moshe's, but all of them. Shenemar. Explain this in a second. Et Hashulchanot Ve'alehem Lechem Apanim. It says the Shulchanot on which the Lechem Apanim is found, and here you have it all in plural. It sounds like they all would have Lechem. Ukulam Ayam Madigim. He lit with all of them. Shenemar Et Menorot Ve'Nerotehem Levaram Kemishpat Ifnei Adavir Zahav Sagur. So again, it sounds here it's written in the plural. So it sounds like they used all of them. Rashi comments over here. It's interesting. Pashtut the Gemara is that they lit all of them. They put Lechem on all of them. Rashi over here writes, no, that's not the case. Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua believes that they used any which one that they wanted. It's not that they were all functioning at the simultaneously, but rather they were all used at different times. Whenever the Kohen chose, he could pick. He could light whichever one he wants. He could be Mesada Lechem on whichever one he wants. They were all used, but not simultaneously. And I'm saying again, the Pashtut the Gemara is that they put them on all, that they all were used simultaneously, but that's the way Rashi interprets it over here, that it wasn't simultaneous, but rather they were all functional rather than decorative. And that's the difference between Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua versus the Tanakama, where we saw that he says that there was only one that was functional, which was Moshe's. Here he says they're all functional, but you, again, you only put it on one. Although I guess maybe to make them decorative, they have to look like they were functional. I don't know if that's a solution to the problem, but you're right. It seems more likely that it's Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua that's the one who's requiring the spis.
I don't know if you mentioned it yesterday. There's no issue about tosif.
I think if they're decorative, then there's no.
There's no
about tosif. If they're functional, but if you learn like Rashi, that only one was in use, again, you don't have a Baal Tosif because they're only using one at a time. So the others become decorative on the day that you use the others. The other way to explain it, and Rashi points this out, is that the Shulchanot were laid out where Moshe's was the furthest west. The Har HaBayit was on a grade that moved upward towards the western side. And therefore, the Shulchan of Moshe sat higher than all the other Shulchanot. You know, it's a different height. And therefore, maybe, I don't know if you suggest this, but that fact that it was up higher and closer to the west designated it as a specific shulchan that was unique for the avodah versus the others that were there. I mean, that's the other thing, which is we know that the pasuk, the Gemara quotes very often the pasuk that called mechtav miyad Hashem, that everything that was done in the Mikdash had to be given miyad Hashem. That's why you need Nevi'im when they built the Beit Sheni. Everything was given miyad Hashem. That means the whole blueprint of the Mikdash was given miyad Hashem. That was a nevuah, so you could suggest that that's a solution, that it was a nevuah. I'm not sure that, I mean, it's not necessarily the pashtut of the way it seems like Shlomo did things, beautify the Mikdash, but if you want to suggest that it's a problem if they're functional and more along the lines of the pashtut of Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, that maybe they used all of them, then you'd have to say that they had a nevuah made to Hashem to do that. Rabbi Yehuda, who's the Tanakama, says that the only one that was functional was that of Moshe. So what does he do with the pasuk brought by Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua that it's in the plural? He says, "V'tashulchanot ashelem lechem panim zahav elu shlusha shulchanot sheyu b'migdash." Those are different shulchanot. They're not talking about the shulchanot that you misadded the lechem on, but rather they are talking about the shulchanot that sat outside the heichal. They sat in the ulam over here by the doorway of the heichal. They had in the ulam there were two tables laid out there, which is shneim shayu ulam mibifnim the petach habayit. They were inside the ulam before the petach heichal, and then echad shel kesef, echad shel zahav, one of gold, one of silver. Asher kesef notein lechem apanim beknisato, the one of silver they used when they brought the lechem apanim in. And the one of the Zav when they went out, Shemalim beKodesh v'lo miridim. Go up in Kodesh and you don't go down. The third one was the Zav b'fnim shalav lechem panim tamid. That was the actual shulchan that was inside. So the shulchanot that are mentioned in plural here are talking about again all the functional shulchanot. The one shulchan b'fnim which is used for actually being mesadeh lechem panim, and two shulchanot that sat in the ulam. And it was because the kohanim who carried in the lechem to the shulchan b'fnim on the way in they stopped and they placed it on the shulchan ha. Whether it was really a Shulchan HaKesef or not is not clear. We're going to see it later in today's daf that they called it a Shulchan Shel Shayish. It was made out of marble. Rashi over here says that they're synonymous because they both have the same color. Both a whitish, silvery color. And therefore they called the Kesef and the Shayish, they're using them interchangeably. So whether it was Shayish or Kesef, Tosus talks about which one it was. That's the one Shulchan. The other one was Zahav. It was on the way out. Now on the way out, it makes sense that they had to take the Lechem off the Shulchan from inside and then they placed it on this one of Zahav right outside the Ulam because the Lechem lechem apanim and not nita the kohanim until they're makriv the bazichim on the mizbeach. They left the lechem there until the bazichim were mukrav. After the bazichim were mukrav, then they were mechalek the lechem apanim to the kohanim. But it was kept there in the interim on the shulchan azav when it went out. Question of why there was a shulchan on the way in. Was it necessary to have a shulchan on the way in? Rashi says that maybe not. They just did it in order to have this idea of malim bekodesh ve'enim moridim. Therefore, they put it down on the silver, the shayish on the way in. And then they brought it up to the lechem inside, and then the way out they kept it in gold. Rashi says over here, ve'omdim lafush. He says that the kohanim, it was very heavy and hard work to carry the lechem apanim, and therefore they needed to rest on the way in. They just came up all the stairs, coming into the echal. They placed them down. They needed that table there in order to rest before they continued into the echal to finish up the avod and be mesadet the lechem. So that's what Rashi writes here. He says, ve'omdim lafush.
It's also symmetric.
Right, which would be that idea that's expressed over here, the idea that it was all for the Malim Bekodesh, and it creates that symmetry that you're talking about in terms of the beauty. So now the Malim Bekodesh, Vein Moridim, is because when they came in, they put it on a Shayish or Kesef, then they put it on the Shulchan, the regular Shulchan inside, which is Shulchan Shel Moshe, which is gold. And when they took it out, they kept it on gold. So that would be the Malim Bekodesh. You start with silver, move up to gold, and when you took it out, you had to remain on gold, and that's why there was a Shulchan of gold on the way out. Mar wants to know that, Uminolon, how do we know the Ein Moridim? How do we know that your Malim Bekodesh, the Ein Moridim. The Ein Moridim side, where do we know this? I'm Rabbi Damar Kura. The pasuk says, Vayakim Moshe et Mishkan, Vayitain et Adanav, Vayasem et Kirashav, Vayitain et Brichav, Vayakim et Amudav. Moshe Rabbeinu puts the Mishkan together. How do you learn from that? Ein Moridim. So Rashi brings down interpretations. Since the beginning of the pasuk and the end of the pasuk uses the word Hakama, there you see that the Lashon of pasuk doesn't change. That it uses the word Vayakim in the beginning and Vayakim in the end to teach you that they're not Morid. They use the same Lashon, same word. We don't downgrade the wording in the pasuk. That's Rashi's first interpretation. Inami. Rashi brings down a second interpretation, which is that other kohanim did not help him. Moshe started the process, vayakim Moshe to Mishkan, but once he had started, the other kohanim didn't come in and join him to help him out, and Moshe did it alone, because that would have been moridim, the status of Moshe being above those of the other kohanim, and therefore Moshe alone put it up, and nobody helped him. So that's another way to learn it. The third way Rashi learns it is, shebetchila poresa yiriyot, v'lo yidan bakamat amudim, v'adanim alachaz that they put up the yiriyot first, and then they put in the amudim and the adanim to hold them up. Which is, once you put something up, they put up the yiriyot to make it private and close the area. So they had people holding, I don't know if it was Moshe, somebody's holding up the yiriyot, and then they put the poles up and the adanim to hold them in place. So first they were up, right? The yiriyot were there, already placed, and then they affixed them to the poles afterwards. That's the Ein Moridim. Once they were up, we didn't let them be put down, we held them up until you put the poles in. So those are the three possibilities of why you have Ein Moridim over here. Uminalin de Malin. How do we know that we're Malin because of Ein Moridim? So Amar Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov Damakra. Et machtot achataim ha'ele ben nafshotam. It's almost this week's question. It's Pashat Korach. Vasu otam kiu'ei pachim tzipud ha'mizbeach. Ki kruvim lifnei Hashem ve'ikadashu ve'yudot of Israel. So these are the pans that were used by the 250 Maktirei Ketoret that were part of the rebellion of Korach. They were nisrach outside the Mishkan when the fire comes down from Hashem and eats up the Ketoret and kills all of them, but they were functioning as b'tchila tashmishei mizbeach. Originally, they were just tashmishei mizbeach. They used to bring the ketoret to the mizbeach. Be'achshav, after they were nisraf, Hashem says that these kelim are nitkadesh. Therefore, we have to do something with them. What do they do with them? They don't use them for tashmishei mizbeach, or rather, shav guvush mizbeach. It becomes a part and parcel of the mizbeach. It becomes the cover for the mizbeach. So they change the pans into cover of the mizbeach. So that's a malin velo moridin. So this is the malin side of it.
Can't stay stagnant, you have to always go up, right?
No, but we should. You should go up. You can't stay flat because that's how the Shulchanot here, you take it from the Zahav on the Lechem Apanim, you put it on the Zahav on the outside. The idea is Ein Moridin, but how do you know that you should be Maleh? That's something separate. You don't have to be Maleh, but what is the impetus to be Maleh? And that's from here. Now, Gemara continues, Asher Shibarta, the Samtem Aharon is not modifying Asher Shibarta. The Samtem Aharon is really modifying the Luchot HaShniot that Moshe has to carve out. But Hashem says to them, you have to replace the Luchot Asher Shibarta. You have to replace them. But Samtem Aharon, the new Luchot that you create, you're going to put in the Aharon. But Chazal reparse the Pasuk, and they say, oh, Asher Shibarta, Samtem Aharon, that those that you broke, you're going to put into the Bechtov Al Luchot HaDvarim Asher Yu Al Luchot HaRishonim Asher Shibarta V'Samtem Aharon. So over here you see, what is he? modifying. Santa Maron is the Vechtov al Luchot, which is the Luchot Hashniyot. Chazal just cut off the first part of the pasuk and said, ah, Asher Shibartav Santa Maron. So what do you learn from that? Sitani Rav Yosef, Melamech Luchot, Vishivre Luchot, Munachim Baron. That not only were the Luchot in there, but the Shivre Luchot were found inside the Aron. Mikan, the Tamir Chacham Sheshachavta Mudo Machmat on So, Sheno Agimbo Min Hagvi Zayon. This we learned that a Tamir Chacham, for whatever reason, became sick, or he doesn't have his Torah anymore, the Kavod that is due to him is still remains intact. And we don't degrade him in any way or take him down because he's attained that level of Kedusha. This is the idea, again, of Malim Bekodesh Ve'en Moridim, that the Luchot Rishonot had a Kedusha, and they're not going to be Morid them. They still belong in the Aron, and they're still placed in the Aron. How are they placed in the Aron? Tosos discusses over here, based on Mar Bablatra, whether they were under the two Shleimot, or they sat all, the Yishami sounds like they sat side by side, like three or four of them sat side by side inside of the Aron. So Amar Eish Lakish, Pamim Shibitula Shel Torah Zehu Silda. Sometimes the Bitul Torah creates the foundation of Torah, Dichtiv, Asher Shibarta, that you broke them. Amar Lakosh Baruch Moshe, Yasher Kochach Shibarta, and the famous Agadato in the Gemara and Shabbat, Ba Moshe Rabbeinu, there were three things that Moshe did on Smach Atzmo, and Hashem was Iskim Al Yado. This is one of the three things that he broke the Luchot. Over here you see that Asher Shibarta, Hashem says, Yasher Kochach Shibarta. Moshe broke the Luchot in order to be Mikayim the Torah, and therefore it's a positive statement. That's what Rashi says over here. Go on. This is interesting, Rashi. Shemivatel Torah lo tzata meit lo achnasat kala. Sometimes you have to be mivatel Torah in order to do hatzata meit achnasat kala. Ze yisoda. That's the keeping of Domar Klomal. Mikabel schara ki ilu yoshev u miastav o sekba. When you go out, and these are items that you have to be mivatel Torah for, and Talmud Torah for, in those instances, Hashem gives you the credit as if you sat there and learned Torah. And now, how do you know that Asher Shibarta means Yasher Kochacha? Rashi says over here, it's interesting. V'lo amar leib l'shon kas. He didn't scream at him. Shmamina iskima imo dat ashkina kishibitel Torah. And Hashem agreed with this when he's bitter. Shibram came in the nitkaven the Torah. Since he had the right kavana, Hashem was maskim and doesn't get angry at him. The fact that there's a lack of Hashem's anger shows that he agreed with Moshe's stance or what Moshe did. So Amar Eish Lakish, Tam Chacham shesarach ima vezina to befarhesia. Tam Chacham that was chotet went off the derech a little bit. We do not embarrass him in public, shenemar, because it says over here v'kashel tayom kashel gam navi imecha laiva. So what does that mean? Kashelta, you'll make a mistake, and the navi will make a mistake laiva kisau kalaila. Cover it up like nighttime. So even here's a Navi who makes a mistake. Don't make a public display of this. Cover it up. Don't make it into something that's known to the public. But if he forgets a single thing that he's learned, violates a lav, shenemar, hishamer lecha. So over here, the pasuk that he's quoting from at Hanan, some people say every day after davening. That's the Ramban's interpretation. Rashi says it's talking about Torah. Pasuk is found in Etchana. Zavak Hashem lecha v'shmar nafshecha ma'od pen tishkach v'davrim asher ro'ei necha pen yosum mevavecha koyim echayecha v'datim l'benecha v'dnei benecha. Rashi says that's talking about Torah itself. Right. The Ramban says that's not right. It's talking about the Mamad itself, the Mamad Har Sinai itself. That's what the Ramban says over there. Over here, Reish Lakish is interpreting it to mean that it's a restriction against forgetting Torah, which seems to support the position of Rashi. It's talking about Torah itself and not the Mamad. Because he's saying that if you forget anything that you learned, you're over a lav, shenemar, yishamer lecha. Umashor nashech maot, pin tishkach devarim, kedar bi'avin amir abilah, damir abi'avin amir abilah, komakob shenemar, yishamer pen bi'al, inu el lotase. So here's a lotase against forgetting. Vino mar, yishamer upen. The pasuk has both yishamer and pen in it, shnei lavim ninu, rav nachman amar, shlosha lavim, shenemar, yishamer lecha, ushmor nashech maot, pen tishkach devarim, you have three lavim. Yochala filu machmaton, so I would think even because of an unes that he forgets it, tamil omar, Pen yasuru milvavecha misira miliba katu medaber. You have to be negligent in order to be problematic over here. Negligent means if you don't do chazara also. That's negligence if you don't go over the Torah. If a person comes ill, that's an onus. But fact is, a person doesn't put their mind to it and doesn't work at it, that's not called an onus. That's a negligence that he didn't keep them. Rabbi Dustai be Rabbi Yonai Amar Yochal afilu takla alav mishnato. Again, that you thought that became too much, that the quantity was too much. Tomama rak. There's a mute. Okay, it's a Mishnah and Avot, this whole thing. It's interesting that Reish Lakish is quoting it as a Mamar, and it's also Mishnah and Avot, an explicit Mishnah and Avot. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Damri Tarvayu, Torah nitna b'arbaim. Neshama notzra barbein. Torah was given in 40 days. Neshama, we know from the Gemara Nidah, is 40 days to create. That's Yetzirat Avlad. Kol meshamer Torato, nishmato mishtamerit. Anybody who keeps the Torah, his neshama is in good shape. V'chol she'enu meshamer to Torah, whoever doesn't take care of the Torah, doesn't abide by the Torah, nishmato mishtamerit. His neshama is not okay. Tana debei Rabbi Yishmael, mashal, adam shemasar tzipor dro l'avdo. Someone who gave over a free bird, a racing bird, or this beautiful bird over to his Eved. Something that was expensive. Amar, you think if you lose this, you're just going to have to compensate me for the value of the bird? I'm telling you now that your life's on the line. This is not just a question of monetary loss. It's a question of life and death. And it's the same thing by the Torah. The Torah has given to us a life and death situation. I mean, it's a babacharta b'chaim, that you have to choose life, that this is what's going to be shomer your nefesh neshama, and not that you just, you know, whatever, you pay a little bit here, you pay a little bit there, and you don't have to keep the Torah. And now we're going to have a Mishnah that describes the process of the Shulchanot, and this is where the 2.5 amot come from, that we discussed with the Gemara took for granted earlier on. Shnei Shulchanot ayu b'ulam, mi bifnim. There were two Shulchanot in the ulam itself. Al petach habayach, echad shal shayish ve'echad shal zahav. One of shayish and one of gold. Al shal shayish notim lachem apanim k'nisato, v'shal zahav b'tziyato. Malim b'kodesh v'lo maridim. This is what we just quoted in the Gemara. This is where Rashi made the point of shayish. Here the Mishnah calls it shayish, in the Gemara they called it kesef. Ve'echad shal zahav mi bifnim. Shalav lachem apanim tamid, and there was one inside, the one of Moshe, on which the lachem tamid was kept. Va'arba'a kohanim nichnasim. So this is a question that you asked before, Zvi. Well, how do you know? So here, there are four kohanim that go in. Shnayim biyadam shnei starim, or shnayim biyadam shnei bazichim. Four kohanim are going in. Two of them need to carry the lechem apanim themselves, and two of them are bringing in the bazichim. Va'arba'a makdim min lifneim, and there are another four kohanim that precede them. Shnayim litol shnei starim. Two of them take the two starim. Ushnayim litol shnei bazichim, and two of them to take the bazichim. Ha'machnisim omdim b'tzafon. Those that are going in to remove it stand on the northern side. Upneihem l'darom, and they face the southern side. Va'motziim, and those that are taking out the lechem panim omdim b'darom, they stand in the south. Upneihem l'tzafon, and they are facing the north. Elu moshchim ve'elu manichim. As one pulls off the lechem, the others push it in, or the other way around, probably makes more sense. As the new ones are pushed in, they slide off the old ones. They're within a tefach of each other as they go in and out. Now, a couple of things. Why are the machnisim in the north and the motzim in the south? Because the north, we know in the Mikdash, is more kadosh. So the ones bringing in the lechem are in the placement of our location that is more kadosh, because they are now about to go on the shulchan versus those that are being removed from the shulchan that are now become the ochel of the kohanim. That's one. Number two is we saw the issue of malim b'kodesh ve'in moridim. That's why they move from the shayish or kesef to the zahav, and then from zahav out to the zahav. The other thing we see here is, and Rashi points this out, that this is according to the opinion, stam akaman damar shulchanot mizrach marav munachim. This is stam according to one who says that the shulchanot were laid out east-west, that they were laid out east-west, and therefore they're standing in the north and the south to take off the lechem apanim, because they would slide out that way. They would come out easily from the kanim. The difficulty with that is, and this is what I've been, the snipim, if you think they're laid out east-west, the snipim are on the length of the shulchanot, that means that they're on the northern and southern sides. Is the ease of moving the lechem off is on the west and the east. So I'm not sure why you would consider that to be better, that the kohanim are now, if they're standing north and south, that must be, to me it would be easier if they're north-south, to pull it off the ends of the shulchan. So I'm not exactly sure what Rashi means over here, but he believes that it was stam kirabi. The Mishnah continues. Why is it that when they pushed on the new lechem, they pulled off the other lechem? Because the pasuk says, "Shnemar lefanai tamid." That there always has to be the lechem apanim means must be lefanai tamid, always on the shulchan. The only way to ensure that it's always on the shulchan is that as you take off the old lechem, that you put on the new lechem. Even if they take them off and later on the other ones come in and put them on, afiyetat tamid. That's also classified as tamid, because tamid means that you can't go overnight without there being lechem on the shulchan. Tamid doesn't mean constant or continuous, but rather daily, it has to be there. Yatzu v'natnum al shulchan hazahav. They went out and put them on the golden one on the outside. She'ah bulam b'ktiru abazichim. Then they went to mamakti lezichim. V'chalot mitzchalkot hakohanim. And then afterwards, they are nitar the kohanim, and the kohanim can eat the lechem apanim. Chal yom kippurim liot b'shabbat. Hachalot mitzchalkot l'erev. You wait until motzei Shabbat in order to mechalek the lechem. So earlier, I mentioned about the shituk mekubetzet. That was one of the reasons why the idea that they had a masa, a motzei Shabbat, and they had hadn't eaten the Lechem Apanim yet, that he suggests that one of the cases was this case, like Yom Kippurim. But there was no way to consume the Lechem Apanim until Motzei Shabbat. Chaliot Be'erev Shabbat, it was Erev Shabbat, Se'ir Shel Yom Kippurim, meaning if Yom Kippur falls out on Erev Shabbat, which today we don't have that possibility, but if the Apiyag Re'iyah, if it fell out on Erev Shabbat, Se'ir Shel Yom Kippurim Nechal Erev. The Se'ir Lechatat, the Se'ir Chitzona on Yom Kippurim is Nechal Kohanim, because it's a Chatat Chitzona, but that is eaten on Shabbat itself. Problem is, you now have it was Mukrav on Yom Kippur. You can't cook it on Yom Kippur because you can't eat it on Yom Kippur. So when you have it on Shabbos? On Shabbos you can't cook it because lo nitar bishol, it's how do you cook it on Shabbat? So what do they do? Seir Shem Ekirim Nechal Erev Abav Liim Ochlim Oto Kishu Chai Mipnei Shadan Yafeh. The Babylonians used to eat it raw because that Dan Yafeh, I'm saying it's not that they were picky, but rather that they took anything, they ate anything. So they ate it even raw. Otherwise, I think that they would just have to leave it overnight and it would become lino and they would burn it. There would be no possibility of eating it. Tanya Rabbi Yossi Omer, Afilu Sileka Dishana Shacharit V'Sideret HaDasha Arvit Ein B'Kach Klom. If they take off in the morning, they lechem panim and put them on back in the evening or the afternoon, Alamanim came Lefanai Tamid Shlo Yalin Shuchlan Belo Lechem. They can't go overnight without lechem. I'm assuming in the back of Rabbi Yossi's mind is the menorah. The menorah, which also has a din of Tamid, it has to be Erevat Boker and has a Tamid there. There we know that it's only overnight that it has to be Tamid, at least according to Shitat Rashi. But in Shitat Rambam, believe Tamid there means continuous, meaning lit all through the day as well. It won't work as well. But according to Shitat Rashi, that Tamid over there by the menorah just means overnight. I think Rabbi Yossi is associating the two and saying here also the Lechem HaPanim means overnight. Samar Rabbi Yamik, Mitvarav Shal Rabbi Yossi Nilmod, Afilu Lo Shana Adam El Perek Echad Shacharit, Perek Echad Arvit, Kiyem Mitzvat, Lo Yamush Sefer HaTorah Zeh Mipicha. A person only learns a little bit in the morning, a little bit in the evening. He's Mekayim the Mitzvah of Lo Yamush Sefer HaTorah Zeh Mipicha. That's it. You learn Torah. You're Mekayim the Mitzvah of always learning Torah. Because Tamid, or always, doesn't literally mean always. It means not going a day or a night without something. Over here, you can't have a day or a night without Torah. So if you learn a little in the morning, learn a little at night, you're so set, everything's good. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Rabbi Shimba Yochai Afilu Lo Kara Damela Kriyat Shema Shacharit Ve'arvit Kiyem Lo Yamush. That even if you just say Kriyat Shema in the morning and night, no problem, you're done. That's your Mekayim the Mitzvah of Limud HaTorah. But Dava Zer Asur Lo Amro Bifnei Am Haaretz. Can't tell the Am Haaretz about this, because this is what Rashi says. They'll say, ah, if it's enough with Kriyat Shema, we don't need to do anymore. They won't teach their children Torah. They'll just say, ah, just say Kriyat Shema, you're set. You don't have to do anything. They won't push to learn more Torah. Rova Amar, Rova says, Mitzvah Lo Amro Bifnei Am Haaretz. So good thing, tell the Am Haaretz about this din, because number one, they'll think, wow, I get such great schar. Rashi brings on two interpretations. I get such great schar from saying Kriyat Shema that I'm a Kayim Mitzvah Limud HaTorah. Let me give my children a chance to learn even more Torah. That's going to make my way good, and that's going to help me out just by saying Kriyat Shema. If I have my children learn Torah all day, that's one possibility. And the other one he brings down, these Rabbanon who are Yotze with Kriyat Shema, and yet they sit all day and learn anyway, there must be something great about that. So either way, there's a positive that could come out of this. Also a positive that they shouldn't feel that they are disassociated from Limud HaTorah. They should feel that they have a part in Limud HaTorah. That's also a positive that comes out of it. Now, Shaul ben Dama ben Achoto Shel Rabbi Yishmael. Ben Dama, the son of the Achot Shel Rabbi Yishmael, meaning it's his nephew. Ben Dama is the nephew of Rabbi Yishmael. Et Rabbi Yishmael, he asked him a question. I finished all Torah. I learned everything. Can I learn Chachmat Yevanit? Karle Amikra. So he says, Lo Yamush Sefer Torah Zeh Mipicha V'Gita Bo Yomam V'Layla. So he says, go ahead. Say Ubadok. Shashin Lo Min Hayom V'Lo Min Halayla. If you can find something that's not day or night, then V'Lomod Ba Chachmat Yevanit. Then you're allowed to learn Chachmat Yevanit. Wow. As Rashi says, Davar Shelo Yehi Be'Olam. It'll be not something that never happened. Tosus over here asks, wait, we learned earlier here. We also went to the end of Sotah that there was a Gzeirat Chachamim against learning Chachmat Yevanit. So what was Ben Dama? Ben Dama, he first answers, oh, maybe it was before the Chorban and before the Gezerah. That was a suggestion of the Rashbam. He says it can't be because Rabbi Shmuel lives after the Chorban, and so obviously his nephew definitely left after the Chorban, and it was after the Gezerah. So why is he asking to learn Chachma Yevanit? Tosfos in the Gemara over here, and also what's discussed in the Gemara in Sota, is that there Rabbi Gamliel learned Chachma Yevanit. And it sounds like Chachma Yevanit was a very particular language of the aristocracy, and it gave them the ability to interact with the hierarchy of Rome and to discuss with the Malchut. So it was something that was Tzorach HaTzibur. So with Tzorach HaTzibur, there was a matir. What Tosfos suggests over here was that he thought it would be a tzorach, but Rabbi Shmuel felt it wasn't a tzorach, good enough tzorach. You know, maybe there was a need for it, but it wasn't a good enough tzorach to allow his nephew to learn Chachma Yevanit, and he said, therefore, don't learn it. Don't learn Chachma Yevanit. Make a big difference in the interpretation. If you think Chachma Yevanit is this special, unique language that has to do with the aristocracy of Rome, that's the only thing that's not involved. But that would mean other subjects that are useful and have utility and that can help in Limud HaTorah, maybe that'd be okay. If you think Chachma Yevanit means generically anything, any knowledge of the outside world, obviously that's much more limiting than what you can learn outside of Torah. And this argues on Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani. Amar Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Yonot on Pasuk, Ze'enu lo chuvav lo mitzvah lebracha. It's not an obligation. It's not a mitzvah, but a bracha. Ra'al Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yoshua Shedibrei Torah Chavim El Abiyoter, he saw that he loved Torah. Shenemar, Musharto Yoshua Binu, Na'al Yomish Mitochola. Love to learn. Ra'al Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yoshua Kolkach Chavim Alecha Dibrei Torah. You love Torah. Let me give you a bracha. Lo Yomush Sefer Torah Zemi Picha. You should never stop learning. That's my bracha to you. Atana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. Dibrei Torah lo you alecha chuva. They shouldn't be on you like an obligation. Be atar reshoy lef Torah tzmacha mehem, but you're also not allowed to be poter yourself. So Rashi writes, what does it mean lo you alecha chuva? Kadam sheyesh lo chov. V'omer matay afren ovi poter. That's the same interpretation that Rashi gives by tefillah. That atzatzleya tefillah tcha keva. It should make yourself your tefillah keva. Same here, that I have an obligation that I must discharge. I have a loan that I must repay. So one shouldn't look at tefillah in that way. Also to Talmud Torah. I shouldn't say, oh, I have a perek to get through. Let me get it done, because then I paid my dues and I've learned my Torah and I'm all gone. Shouldn't look at it that way, but he's not patur, meaning that you can't just say, okay, I don't look at it as an obligation, but you are obligated to learn. You can't be poter yourself. So that's one interpretation. Tosfot brings another two interpretations over here. He says, lo yalecha chovah shlo tasuk ela behen. They shouldn't be a chovah to you, meaning that you should only do them. V'yata rashay liftor etz mechaven shlo tasuk behen klal. Right, so they shouldn't be on you a chovah that you should only do Torah, but also you're not allowed to be poter yourself. So that you can't, shota sekven klal, that you can't say, that I won't deal with them at all. So he says, you have to learn Torah, but it doesn't have to be 100% of your time. But on the other hand, you can't say it's 0% of your time. Ela yafriya tamu Torah im derech eretz. Tamu Torah im derech eretz is good. You have to work a little bit, you have to learn also. Inami gives a second interpretation. Lo yolecha chov lumod kol haTorah. You're not obligated to finish all Torah. Lo alecha malacha ligmor. From that type of idea, you don't have to finish all the Torah, but you're also not patur from trying to finish all the Torah and to incorporate all the Torah. I just want to add on over here, I have a very, very important issue that arises over here. We have two opinions in the Gemara. Opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, who's asked by his nephew about learning outside things, and Rabbi Shmuel says, no, I'll find a time that's not Yom V'Laila, and you'll be okay. Then we have the quote from Rabbi Yochanan, B'Shem Rabbi Shimba Yochai, who says, to be Yotzei, you just have to say Kriyat Shema Shachrit Varbit. We know that there's a Gemara in Brachot, and the Gemara in Brachot has a machlokas and daf lamed hay between Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and Rabbi Shmuel. These two individuals, the exact same thing. Listen to the machlokas that they have between them. It says, Rabbi Chinah bar Barami, k'tiv, v'lakachtei digani b'ito, k'tiv, v'asavta diganecha, lo kasha. Kan b'Yisrael shosim ratzono shel makom, kan zman sheni shosim ratzono shel makom, tan rabbanan, savta diganecha, ma tamo lomar, lefi shenemar, lo yamush sefer Torah zami picha, yechol dvarim kichtavam. Maybe we should take it literally, that you have to learn all day? Tamo lomar, savta diganecha. No, there's a mitzvah for to go out and work. Hanheg mehen derech eretz. Tivrei Rabbi Yishmael. Yishmael says you got to go out and work. Can't be learning Torah all day and all night. You got to go out and work. Rabbi Shimba Chayomar. Efshar adam choresh b'shat charisha v'zoreya b'shat zriya v'kutzer b'shat tzira v'dash b'shat tisa v'zoreya b'shat aruach. Torah matei alea. What's going to happen? Elah zman shusosim etzono shumakom lachtam nasera yidei acherim. If you learn Torah all day and all night, then Hashem will take care of you and your malach will be done by others. Shenemar. Bamdu zarim v'ra'u tzonchem b'zman shein yisosim etzono shumakom lachtam nasera that's man, then you gotta do it on your own, but safta ganecha. Blow out, elish melechet acherim nasita yadam, they have to do other people's work. So it says, vaat edo ivecha. Am rabbi, harbe asuk Rabbi Shmuel. Many tried like Rabbi Shmuel, v'alta biyadam, and they succeeded. Rabbi Shimon Yochai, v'lo alta biyadam, like Rabbi Shimon Yochai, and it didn't work out. So now you have Rabbi Shimon Yochai in the Gemara in Brachot says, Torah, 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 and nothing else. Over here he says, you want to be yotzei mitzvah of limud Torah, kriyat shema morning and night. Then you have Rabbi Shmuel. Over here it says, Torah, 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 nothing else. And then in the Gemara in Brachot says, you got to work. It says, v'safta denecha, there's a mitzvah to work. You can't learn Torah all day and all night. Beyond that, we also have the story in Shabbos, in the daf Yud Aleph in Shabbos. There the Gemara says that Rabbi Shimba Yochai v'chaveirav. The Gemara asks, are you not allowed to daven Shmona Esrei when it comes to limud Torah? They say, well, limud Torah is not dochet kriyat shema, you have to say kriyat shema. But on the other hand, you can be dochet tefillah. I said, that's only true of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai v'chaveirav shetoratan umunatan. That they learn yomam v'layla. So you see Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's character and his view of mitzvah limud Torah was day and night. And over here he's saying kriyat shema, that's enough to be yotzei. So how do we reconcile those two? The Shach pointed out by the Rebbe Kiv Eger actually solves the problem for Rabbi Shimon Yochai, at least, because the girsa that he had in his Gemara was not Rabbi Shimon Yochai, but rather Rabbi Shimon bar Yehud Sadak. And therefore, he doesn't have a steer in Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. And that's what the Rebbe Kiv Eger points out in the Gilyon HaShas. So now, let's start out slowly with this. We have a Gemara Nedarim. Gemara Nedarim says that if you take a Shavua to Ashkim Veshne Perkze, Eshne Masechet Zu, take a neder to learn Torah. Neder Gadol Nadar Lelokei Yisrael. You have to fulfill the neder. It says, Vado Mushbav Omeidu. You already have an obligation to learn Torah. How can you take a Shavua on top of it? Vein Shavua Chalal Shavua. What's the Gemara's answer? Kamashalman, Kavendi, by Potter Nafshe B'Kriyat Shema Shachrin Arvit. Since you can be Yotze Limit Torah with Kriyat Shema, Mishav Hachi Chal Shavua Le, is a Chalos Shema the Shavua. So Rashi says, well, came into Kar Kriyat Shema, Kiyem Lo Yamush. Says, well, if you did Kriyat Shema, you finished off the obligation of Lo Yamush. We came indeed by Pantan of Shem, Mimi Shinavtam, be Kriyat Shema, di Yotze Ba Yidei Chubatom, Oto Shua Dar Sinai. And says, you want to be Yotze, your obligation of Shinavtam, you also can be Yotze that with Kriyat Shema, from that same obligation. Rashi introduces here something. It's Rashi in the Darim, so it's not clear who it is there. But Rashi over here, it says two things. Number one, you're Yotze with Kriyat Shema, both the issue of Lo Yamush and Vishinavtam. He introduces a new obligation called Shinantam, and that's going to raise an issue. The Ran there on the spot says, Mistaberli the lav dafka. Doesn't mean that you are Mekayim. Tahochi miftah shari chayav adam limo tamid yom v'layla. Fikocho. Person has to learn day and night according to his strengths. Ramin a parakamad the kedushin. Tarabanam shinantam shiyu divrei torah mechudadim b'ficha. That's obviously what Rashi is referencing over here. That shinantam means that you got to learn until the mechudadim b'ficha. You got to learn all the time. So v'kriyat shma shachar avid lo sagil achi. Kriyat shma shachar avid is not sufficient to do that. And the Ran comes out with a chiddush over here about that only applies to things that are explicit in the Torah, not to things that are learned out of a drasha. But he says, therefore, Kriyat Shema is Mikayim Lo Yamush Sefer Torah Zemipicha, but Vigita Bo Yom V'Lai, but does not take care of Shinantam. You still have an obligation of Shinantam that comes out of Midrash, but you can have a Shavua that's Chal on that. It's an amazing Ran in the Darim. The Shita Mekubetzet over there in the Darim, Asad the Matthew, has other little ways to solve it, and the Karen Ara as well. The most important come out of a Mishnah in Peah. Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Peah, says that there is no Shiur the Torah. And then, no, Shiur the Torah. Wait, we just said that. It says, Begitu Bo Yom V'Layla Shachar Ravit. Kriyat Shema Shachar Ravit is enough. So on that, there is a Shnot Eliyahu, there's the Gra. Unbelievable, famous Gra. You must read it inside. He says over here, Talmud Torah, Nami in La Shiur Lo Lamata Lamala, Dichtiv, Begitu Bo Yom V'Layla. Imke in La Shiur Lamala. Has no upward level to it. Lamata Nami, the Pamim Beteva Chat Koter. One word is enough from Torah. Vay, Dig Ito the Gemara, Kriyat Shema Arvit Besarchit, Kiyu Keim, Higitu Bo Yom V'Layla. Lo Da Bo La Fuke, Shenu Yotze Beteva He says, forget about Kriyat Shema. You can do one word and you're enough. So now, why did the Gemara use Kriyat Shema as Shachar Ravit? Because everybody does that. So automatically, you'll end up with it.
Even though he has extra time to learn. So in all the time. Ah, this is the gross solution to the problem. If a person has to do a mitzvah, or derech eretz has to work, shugam kein mitzvah. That's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to do mitzvah, and it's a mitzvah to work. Azayu poter atzmo b'teva achat. That is yotze b'teva achat. Because that's kvi kocho. That's what he can do. V'nakir atana ha. Dein l'tamu Torah shir l'mata. There's no shir below. Lo roch. Shetzarich adam ma'od ma'od l'chabev et ha-Torah. Tcho teva b'teva shlamad ba'hu mitzvah b'fnei atzma. Every word is a new mitzvah in Torah. That's why it's teaching you this thing. The minimum is a word, and that's the inshir the Torah. But any other free time you have, you also have to learn Torah. What's defined as free time? That's when you're not working and not doing mitzvot. Other people can do it. Everyone is a mitzvah. So that is the grah. Yor Sameach adds in another dimension to this, as well as the Shulchan Aruch Harav, which is important here. The Or Sameach brings an additional pasuk of a Dibartabam, and in Dibartabam it says that kol dibrucha have to be in Torah. So now, how could it be that the issue here that we said that you yotzei bekriyat shma shachritu v'arvit? The only time we say osek mitzvah potur mina mitzvah is when you're osek in a mitzvah that has a definition of quantity. Talmud Torah, which has no definition of quantity because it's dependent on the individual. Each individual has to learn kocho, and that there is similar to what the Shloah says about the mitzvah of kedoshim to you. That it's a specific mitzvah for every individual. Hashem couldn't write the general mitzvah. The common denominator between everybody is that you yotzei b'teva achat, you yotzei b'kriyat shema shachrit or arvit. But then there's an additional mitzvah that's an obligation on each individual to his kocho, what he can do, based on, obviously he has to work, asafta de ganecha, it's a mitzvah to go out and work. He also has to provide for his family, he has to do other mitzvot. Whatever it is left over, then kfi kocho, he can learn, then he has a specific mitzvah. So in those instances, we say also mitzvah, patur min a mitzvah is when you have a specific guideline. But since the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, as well as things like Lifnim Mishurat Adin and the Kavod and all other types of mitzvot which have no defined quantity to them, and if you're Osek b'mitzvah kazoo, then you're not Potter in another mitzvah. And that's why other mitzvot are Doche Talmud Torah, or they're not considered to be Bittul Torah. Therefore, working is not Bittul Torah. Therefore, doing other mitzvot is not Bittul Torah, because there is no such din as Osek b'mitzvah Potter in a mitzvah. So that's your Sameach. Shulchan Arav has a Chiddush. The Rov HaRishonim say that there's one mitzvah of Limud Torah. The mitzvah of Limud Torah comes out of the pasuk v'shinantam levanecha. The Rambam Sefer Mitzvah says that, the Sefer Chinuch as well. The Urayim brings other psukim down. He brings a couple of psukim and says, why aren't all of these considered or classified as mitzvot, including the, he thinks that the mitzvah is actually derived out of the pasuk of v'limadetem otam u'shmartem la'asotam. But he brings other psukim as well. But generally, most Rishonim believe there's one mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and it comes out of v'shinantam levanecha. Shulchan Aruch Rav says, no, there are really two mitzvot of Torah. There's two mitzvot of limud Torah. There's one mitzvot of limud Torah, which is acquiring the knowledge of Torah. There's a second mitzvah of limud Torah, which is the felpel, to get into depth and be iyun on Torah. And he says there are two different dinim here. The din of acquiring the knowledge of Torah, that din is permanent and overrides everything else. In order to do that, you're doche mitzvot, you can't go out to work, you have to do that. That's an obligation. And even if you do have to go out to work, you have to kovet in the Torah, you have to make that a primary part of your life. And if someone is not misugal, is unable to do it at all, then you should at least support Tamar Chachamim to do that. But that mitzvah is a mitzvah that overrides everything. There's a second mitzvah of Tilma Torah, which is the Befalpel, and to get Be'iyun, and to get into the depth of Torah. That mitzvah has no gvul to it, has no boundaries to it, and that mitzvah will then have a din that other mitzvot are dochet. If you have to go out to work, that's also dochet. You want to get married, all those items come and take precedent over that. I heard this from Asher Weiss. He suggested that the difference in the Gemaras is that here we're talking about in Menachot individuals. When you speak to individuals who aren't able to learn all day and all night, then they have a dispensation. Shachri v'arbit, that's enough. The Yotze, at least, the din of Talmud Torah. On the other hand, when you're talking to the Tzibur B'chlau, which is the din that's found in the Gemara Brachot, that's what Rabbi Shimon says. No, you can't make that the din for the whole Tzibur, because then Torah Matei Alel, what's going to happen to the Torah? You have to have individuals who dedicate themselves to Torah. And the Machlokas there in the Gemara in Brachot is about what is the din for the Tzibur. And the Shulchan Aruch Rav says something along those lines also, which is, Rabbi Yochai is defining for different individuals. There are individuals who are incapable of doing that basic learning, which is the mitzvah obligation that you can't override. And therefore we say to them, okay, Kriyat Shema Arvit B'Shachrit, that's enough for you. But for others who can, their obligation remains, and they're not allowed to be doche anything until they accomplish that part. And that's really what Ben Dama was asking his uncle. I finished Kol HaTorah Kula. Not that he finished Iyun and everything like that. He finished, he knew, he had the knowledge of Torah. He had that, he had acquired the knowledge of Torah. He still had the din of Iyun. So that's on that the question that he asked. Now once I've completed the Torah Kula, what should I do? Shmuel says, no, that's not enough. For someone of your kohot, you should be doing more. You should be doing the Iyun part as well. That you can't go out and learn Chochma Yibanit. But not necessarily that that's for everybody. That was unique to Ben Dama. That was unique to his nephew. And that's why in the Gemara and Brachot, Rabbi Shmuel says that when it comes to talking to everybody, when talking to Klal, say go out and work. Because not everybody's misugal to do more than the acquisition of the basic Torah knowledge, but also to the Iyun, they're not capable of doing that. I guess I thought we could get a little further, but we'll stop over here and we'll continue it tomorrow with the Gemara.